Psalm 119, you know, 2 weeks ago, Brother Eric stood here on a Sunday night and talked about the moral state of our nation, of our state that we live in. And I don't know if you did, but like me, you walk away saying, where in the world are we? Where do we live? There's people in here that things are being tossed about in the state house and the national government that you would have thought never would have taken place in your lifetime. And we hear about those things, we say, you know, I just want out of here. People have uttered those words. I can't wait for God to come back. I can't wait for the rapture. I can't wait for the Lord to remove us. Maybe those older in life say, you know what, I'm just ready to go to heaven. I've lived my life and I'm ready. Well, those are all fine sentiments, but the fact of the matter remains is we are here. And so what do we do while we are here? What do we do on this planet? What do we do when things are seemingly sad and discouraging and angry and hateful? And that's all around us. And then we see it seep into our lives, and we see it seep into our homes and our families, and we become concerned. And how can we do this? Well, David faces that. We already read the verses this morning in Psalm 119, but specifically I want to look at his claim. In fact, he says, and we'll start with point number one, the recognition. David recognizes who he is. He recognizes that he is a stranger. We see the first account of this. We'll look at three different passages of Scripture where David makes the claim that he is a stranger. Now, I've never been overseas. I've been in the seas. A couple cruises, and we went to foreign countries. But I've never been to a foreign country where I was so entrapped with the language. Foreign countries I've been to, at least I could find somebody that would speak English. But I've never been to a country where I was the only one there and nobody could understand me and I couldn't understand them. I've never been in that. I've never been in a country where they drive on what we would say the wrong side of the road. Some of you have, and you know that that's different. Customs, when you're in a strange place, customs are different. You say things, maybe you say things, and you realize, oh, I shouldn't have said that because of the customs, the way things are. But if you do go to a foreign country, and maybe even there's places here, I've been to cities here in the United States, and I didn't feel comfortable because I didn't understand maybe the layout of the town or where to get somewhere. I had to rely upon somebody else to guide me and direct me. And there are times I'm sure I stuck out, stood out. It was strange. Feel strange. I remember years ago we'd go down and visit some of our college kids, and just going to the cafeteria with thousands of college students, and they all have the routine down. And I remember, like, whoa, I don't belong here. I felt like a salmon upstream, you know. And they were all rushing through, getting their lunch because they had class to go, and I'm just visiting. And so one of the college students said, "Hey, follow me." So grab this, grab that. So we take the tray, got the silverware, and man, I just followed them. I ate what they ate. I took what they took. Why? Because I was a stranger. I didn't feel like I belonged. And there are places in all along our lives we feel like, I just don't quite fit in here. And David comes to that in his life. So first of all, we see David claims, we see in Psalm 119, in this main verse, verse 19, he says, "I am a stranger." He says, "I'm a stranger to this world." And he says, "I'm a stranger who longs for God's word." See what it says there in verse 19. "I'm a stranger in the earth." Then he says, "Hide not thy commandments from me." David had a desire for God's word. Now, David was a man who knew much about the world. David was a man who knew much about the kingdom. God had built the kingdom of Israel in an incredible way. David had people that were he could summon in a heartbeat. He had people all around him. He was in control, in a sense, of this nation, Israel. But yet, even in the midst of that, even with thousands of people at his beckoning call, David, in the midst of all that, felt a stranger. He had it. We would say he had it all. But yet, there was something missing in him. Something he said says that caused him to feel that he was a stranger. He calls himself this. But he says, "God, don't hide the truth of your word from me. I may feel like I don't belong, but God, your word gives me belonging. Your word gives me strength. Your word gives me courage. Your word gives me strength in this world. It says in Psalm 119:54, thy statutes have been my song in the house of my pilgrimage, Lord. Show thy commandments to me. Let me never know the want of the word of God, but as long as I live, I give me to be growing in my acquaintance with it. God, I want to draw closer to you. I want to get to know your word. So we see he is a stranger who longs for God's word. Then secondly, in his admittance, his recognition, if you turn with me to Psalm 39, verse 12. And here's the second admittance that David says, I am a stranger. So he says, I'm a stranger to this world. Now he says, I'm a stranger in this world. Psalm 39, we'll read verse number 12. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner as all my fathers are. So in the first verse, Psalm 119, we see that he says, I'm a stranger. That's simply, I'm a guest. I'm an alien. I'm a foreigner. And here David, in Psalm 119, verse 19, I'm a foreigner to the ways of this world. So he's a foreigner. He is an alien. And so then we see in Psalm 39, 12, he says that, but then he adds a word to it. Not only am I a stranger, a foreigner, but also now he says, I am a sojourner. A sojourner means a dweller or a temporary inmate, a mere lodger. It also has the idea of someone in their relationship that is unfaithful, and so they don't belong. They don't belong in that relationship. And that's the connotation of this verse. They don't belong. And David says, again, I'm a stranger. Now I am a sojourner. I am passing through. I'm a foreigner. I don't belong. But then he says about God, not only in Psalm 118, it was about his word, but then we see in this portion of scripture that David longed again to hear God's word. He is a stranger who longs for God to listen. He longs for God to hear his word. God, hear me. God, understand me, a stranger who longs to hear God's word. A little bit ago, we uttered prayers on the behalf of many people. God longs to help us. He longs to hear our prayer. And David says, in the midst of my prayer, God, always guide me back to you. Always guide me back to your word. And then we see the third claim. Look at Psalm 69, verse 8. Psalm 69, verse 8. This will be the last portion of scripture we'll turn to. Psalm 69, verse 8. But this is the third admittance that David has, that he is a stranger. So he says, I'm a stranger, but not to your word. God, I pray to you, I cry to you, because I'm a stranger and I'm a sojourner. I'm a stranger who longs to hear from you, God. And then Psalm 69, verse number 8. I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. Now, this is a different word usage for the word stranger. So David is a stranger. I'm become a stranger unto my brethren, an alien unto my mother's children. In this case, it means to turn aside. Not a feeling of or not being a wanderer, but now those turning away from you, those treating you, if you will, like a stranger. And that's the connotation of the word I mentioned earlier, to commit adultery, strange, another, to go away. It has the idea of your back being turned, somebody turning their back on you. And David says, I'm a stranger to those in this world. He is a stranger to those that turn away. So David now, he feels, and it's beyond his feeling, but he's expressing, I'm a stranger, but I have God's word. I'm a stranger, but I have God in prayer to go to. And now he says, I'm a stranger, but those that should love me, those that should be on my side. Of course, we know if we follow the history of David as king of Israel, there were those that forsook him. There were those that once were, if you will, on his side and guided him and were his closest ally now become his enemy. His family, members of his family even turned on him. And that's what David is feeling here. He is saying, I am a stranger to those in this world. Not just in this world, not a stranger to those of this world, but now I'm a stranger to those that are in this world. So we're going to find a little bit, so what do we do? What does David do? And we'll take a look at that in just a minute. So he is a stranger to those that turn away. Well, we can't help but compare that to our Lord, can we? We can't help but compare that to Christ. The Jews that were his brethren, David said, my brethren have turned. The Jews that were Christ's brethren, his race rejected him. His family, his brethren by blood were offended at him. His disciples, as one commentator, I'm reading from one commentator, says, his disciples, his brethren in spirit forsook him and fled. One of them sold him. Another one denied him with oaths and with cursings. Continuing the quote, alas, my Lord, what pangs must have smitten thy loving heart to thus to be forsaken by those who should have loved thee, defended thee, and if need be, died for thee. Boy, it sobers us up and makes us realize, even in our troubles, even in our disappointments, even in our discouragements, even in our words of frustration from other people, even hurts done to us, nothing compares to what Christ went through for me and for you on Calvary's cross. All alone he died. Oh, a mother nearby, but all alone he died. Those once that followed him and forsaken him. And yet we get in this world and we do sometimes feel a little sorry for ourselves, don't we? We sometimes wonder, boy, does anyone care? Well, we know, we sing the song, does Jesus care? And yes, he does. We know Jesus cares. We know God cares all about us. We know, too, that Israel had a history of being travelers and strangers and sojourners. David, as he gives his throne eventually over to Solomon, in his prayer to Solomon in 1 Chronicles, now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I and what is my people? We should be able to offer so willingly after this sort, for all things come of thee. And of thine own have we thee. And here's what he says in that prayer before Solomon, before all of Israel, admitting Israel, for we are strangers before thee and sojourners. In Psalm 39, 12, a stranger with thee and a sojourner that we just read. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, what we would call the hall of faith, hall of fame, faith of chapter. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. What David is going through is not uncommon to the followers of God. They were strangers. They were traveling through Israel. As they traveled through, and as they were in bondage, and then received out of bondage, and they traveled through, and they wandered through the wilderness, they were wonders. But what did Israel do? What did they often say about Egypt and bondage? We want to go back. There's something about that that we want. They wanted to be comfortable. And David says, I don't want to be comfortable. I don't want to be okay here. They were okay with captivity. David says, no. And what happens so many times, we are so enthralled in what is around us on this planet, it's almost like we are in captivity to the world system. And David says, I don't want to be captivity to that. I don't want to have a bit to do with that. Oh, David had his experiences with peace and war. He dealt with things publicly and privately. He went through all these things in his life, but yet he observed that he was just a traveler, that he was just a stranger on this planet. So what do we do? Well, we realize, in fact, we won't sing it this morning, but in our mind, we think of the song, this world is not my home. I'm just a traveling through. My treasures, they're laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels, they beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore, and we shouldn't. Oh, Lord, and here's what David's crying. Lord, you know I have no friend like you. God, your word is my strength. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my happy home, then, Lord, what am I going to do? Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. But you know what? We are here. So what do? We're on this planet. So what do? Well, we see four requests in Psalm 119, in those verses we read, starting with verse 17. If you could turn back to those, Psalm 119, and I will do the same. And we'll start with verse 17, and we'll go through these. So now we look at the request that David makes. He had the recognition of who he was. And by the way, we've got to know who we are. We've got to realize spiritually where we stand in our relationship with God. Maybe you're this morning and you've never accepted that Christ that we just talked about, who was forsaken by all. And my sin, if you will, was placed on Christ on Calvary. And so if I am not saved, I'm a part of Satan's system. We would call it the world system. I am born with that sin nature. And so if I've never accepted Christ, I am part of this world system that David is saying, I don't want to be a part of. I feel odd and strange even being here. And so if you've never come to that relationship and that recognition that God loves you and God is full of the grace and mercy that was sang about this morning, you can accept Christ as your personal Savior and realize you don't have to be part of Satan's system. You don't have to be part of that. You can accept Christ as your Savior. And this morning, there are plenty of people here that'd be happy to take the Word of God and to show you for sure that you can be saved, that you can know Christ. So that brings us to David's requests. Let's look at these in Psalm 119, beginning with verse 17. Let's see, first of all, what David says. Call it a desired benefit from God. He says here in verse number 17, deal bountifully. That means benefit or reward me or recompense given to me. Deal bountifully with thy servant. God, I'm your bondman. I'm your servant. Deal bountifully with me that I may live and keep thy word. What was David begging God for here? He wasn't begging God just for mercy. It was mercy. He's begging God for, God, deal bountifully with me for what? So I can be in your word, so I can gain from scripture, so I can gain from truth. Of course, you know Psalm 119 is all about God's word. And so David here is just adding to that and saying, God, I need your word. Deal bountifully with thy servant. Keep thy word. Keep thy commandments. The word keep again means to guard about or build a hedge of thorns. God, keep me. Deal bountifully with me. Give your blessings to me, please, Lord, in regards to the word. See, David had a walking relationship with God concerning the word of God that most people never will. And so David could say, God, deal bountifully with me here. It's God's bounty that he just even gives us life and that we can live a life for him and to him. And that is our desire that we do that. So we see that as the first request. Second request, we see that David had a desire, look at verse 18, a desire for vision or sight from God. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Did he say, open my eyes, I'll see wondrous things in this world? No. Open my eyes, God, that I will see the truth of the scripture that you have for me. A desired vision or a sight from God. That word, open my eyes, it's a fountain of light, capturing all that there is in the landscape. David says, God, I want everything that you will afford to me, that you're willing for me to have. God, give it to me, if you will, by mercy. It's all a request. When's the last time we fought for God's word? When's the last time we cried out for, God, may your word be settled so deep in my heart that when I see things take on this planet, I won't get discouraged, but I'll look to you. You are the author and you are the finisher of my faith, and I will trust you. When things are discouraging, God, I will look to you and trust you. God, open my eyes to those things and to the truth of your word. See, when we see God's word, we're going to see God. When we see God vividly, we're going to have more of a desire to be in his word. And the more we're in his word, we're going to desire to see God more. And so it is just this constant desire that David had in requesting. this desire for vision, for sight from God's word. Then we see the third request. He says, hide not thy commandments from me. Verse 19, after he says, I'm a stranger, hide not thy commandments from me. God, don't take your word away. What if somebody came and took possessions, took things? What would we, oh, don't take that. I need that, or that means much to me. But David, what's he said? God, don't take thy precepts. Don't take the law from me. Don't take the word of God. Hide not thy commandments from me. God, don't forsake me. This is a desired direction from God. God, please don't leave me. I need your direction. I need your steps. He says in Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's a lamp and it is a light. God, I need it. In this dark world, we need the lamp and the light of the word of God. We also need the lamp and the light of the gospel of Christ. As we share it, we need that light. As a stranger has no inheritance in the land of his pilgrimage, David says, so am I a stranger on this earth, having no inheritance but thy word. God, what matters is the truth of your word. See, and that's how we relate to each other. How we can relate to each other is by the principles and the doctrines and the truth of the word of God. We don't just mere habit, commune together and habitat together. Animals can habitat and commune together. We're beyond that. We have a soul. We have a God in heaven who allows us, believers in Christ, to be knitted through what? Through the truth of the word of God. That is the principles and that is the foundations. 2 weeks ago on a Sunday night, everything Eric said was based on principle of God's word and God's truth. It wasn't the, hey, we have nothing going on, let's just go fight the government. That wasn't it at all. Everything is based on the principles and the truth of the word of God. And that's what gets you upset and gets you excited as you live on this planet, is I have got to realize I am doing things based on God's word. It's not about your opinion. It's not about my opinion. It's not about what I think should happen. It's what does this value system state on basis of the word of God? And go to our worldview, if you will. How do we see things happening? Not my worldview, but God's moral and world view. So he desired a direction from God. And David's reasoning is this: I am here a stranger, and I know not the way. Therefore, Lord, direct me. In any country, in any people, in a guide, anybody can guide me to a place, but God, I need your guidance. The dwellers on this earth cannot show us to eternity. Now, we can show people to eternity through the word, through Christ. Our lives can point people by the way we live. We're to live Christ-like. But the way of this world, the people of this world, they cannot show us and point us to Christ. We can't ask directions from the ungodly. We can't ask directions of how do I raise my children from an ungodly world. We can't do that. We can't go to the world and how to solve situations and conflicts. The world doesn't understand that because they don't have Christ. They don't have what David's crying for here. They don't have the word. And so we are not going to find our counsel in the world. And there are a lot of Christians that find their counsel in the world. A network on television is not your proper counsel. Our proper counsel is through the written word of God, through Scripture. And so I trust that that's what we do. And then now, lastly, we see the request number four. David said, give me the benefit as I live in this world. Give me sight into your word. Give me direction from your word. And now he cries, give me mercy from living worldly by keeping your word. God, I need your word. Look down at verse number 22. It says, remove from me reproach and contempt. Remove from me reproach. That's disgrace or shame. God, take it away, because I don't want to do anything that is going to hurt the name of Christ. We would say it this way: David was concerned about his testimony. That's how we would say it. And David said, I don't want any reproach coming or any shame coming. And then he says, and contempt. That means disrespect or despise or shame. For I've guarded thy testimonies. God, I don't want to do anything that's going to hurt the name of you, God Almighty. You and I, we don't want to do anything that hurts the name of God or the name of Christ. We don't want to do anything that would hurt the name of our church because we love it dearly. And so we want to live biblically and have biblical principles the best we can. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Then we see, lastly, we've already seen David's recognition, and now we have David's request. So what are David's responsibilities? What are our responsibilities? What is my responsibility on this planet? And these next points are just going to be just some snapshots, some things that will help us, some things that I think are very, very practical. It would be the application, if you will, this morning part. Number three, it's our responsibility. Excuse me. Observations that David makes and observations we can make on being a stranger, a guest, or an alien as we wander in this world. Number one, we need to make our inheritance, as David has already said, need to make our inheritance in the Word, not the world. We make our inheritance, what matters in life, what we're going to pass on to our children, truth, biblical guidelines, biblical counsel, so they know how to handle things on this planet and on this earth. Matthew 6, 19 and 20, lay down up for yourselves treasures on this earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, but what? Lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. It's getting a hold of what is important to us. What really matters as we are on this earth? What can we put into our lives of our children and our grandchildren? David said in verse 53 of Psalm 119, thy statutes have been my song in the house of my pilgrimage. God, your word, I've tried to live it. I'll sing it out. As Israel traveled through, they would sing many of these psalms. And he says, thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. So make our inheritance in the word of God, not the world. Because the things of this world are going to do what? They're going to fade away. They are going to go. They are going to go. Our soul, I was speaking to Champs yesterday, and I kept emphasizing, our soul, our spiritual, our recognition of God and who God is, our God consciousness will live forever. So that's why we make our inheritance in the Word, not the world. Number two, we make God's Word the guide on our pilgrimage. Who do you seek for guidance? There are a lot of books, and I've said this before and I'll say it again. Just because a book is in a Christian bookstore doesn't make it a Christian book. It doesn't make it a guide to your life. There may be helps in there. There may be references of encouragement. But please understand, the best guide, I'm not saying don't read books, please do. But have discernment when you do. And God's word is our guide on our pilgrimage. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Realize that heaven is our eternal home. And our world is just but an inn. Our world is just a place that we're staying in for a little while. May this be our prayer. May we never know the want of this world. May we never desire it as we looked at that little chorus, this world is not my home. Let this realization, let this motivate you. What chaos would there be if there were no guide or compass, anything to live by? What if our morals were just left to chance? What if things on this planet just happen by the whims and the feelings of people? And can I say oftentimes they are? But our morals and our compass and our go-to and our look-to is what? It's God's word. That is the basis. That is the truth. That is the doctrines of Scripture that we at our church, we stand behind. We stand on. Rules and guidelines weren't just made up to make people miserable. They were based on the truths and the concepts and the precepts of the Word of God. This wasn't just delved up in some deacon or some pastor's mind. It was everything we stand on comes from the truth of the Word of God. That brings us to number three. Not only do we make our inheritance in the Word, not the world, and make God's Word the guide, but number three, be unaware or be blind, or if you will, innocent of the way of the world. and to the noise of this world. We live in a noisy, noisy, noisy planet. We live in an angry world. In the best we can, God help us to be blind. I'm not saying a blindness to where we don't live on this planet and we're being odd and strange. That's not my point. My point is, it is way too easy for us to accept the world standards as our standards as Christians. We cannot do that. We cannot do that. We're not to love the world, 1 John 2:15. Neither things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Romans 13:14. We're told to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told not to make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. James 4:6-8. But God giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and then what does he say? The devil will what? He will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, get closer to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. That brings us to the fourth challenge that we have, a realization, number four, that even our own, as David said, even about his brothers or those his own, of course, we know of Christ, realize that even among our own, we may not seem to belong. David said, I'm become a stranger unto my brethren. Jesus, John 1:11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Even among our own, sometimes as Christians, you ever feel like you just don't quite fit in? They're just going a little bit of direction than I am. Parents, this is going to be a little help to you. Remember Joshua said, as for me, my house, what are we going to do? We're going to serve the Lord. When it comes to parenting sometimes, there'll be those that say, you make your kids do that? Your kids have, you won't let your kids? Where does that come from? There's many outside voices. And that's why even sometimes amongst our own, we feel like, you know what? I know those people go to church, but man, they must see things a little differently in the Bible than I do, because I think the Bible's pretty clear on this, and they're questioning that. And now I feel like I'm a parent that is not doing things like I should. But if you're doing things according to the Bible and the Word of God, then trust me, you are. But even amongst your own sometimes, as David said, we may not seem to belong. Number five, do not be a stranger to God's will. With God's precept as our map, we will find God's direction, God's way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he falls, he will not be utterly cast down or destroyed, because what's God do? He upholds us. The Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Psalm 143:10, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God, thy spirit is good. God's will is nothing but a wonderful thing. God's will is nothing to be feared. God's will is not mystical. God's will, I heard this quote once and it stuck with me. God's will is said this way, the will of God is the word of God. When you're seeking God's will, seek God's word. The will of God is the word of God. And by the way, the Word of God, when you go to it, you'll find the will of God. God's Word is where you'll find His will. Do not be a stranger to God's will. David was a stranger to those around him because he drew closer to God's guidance and God's will. Number six, gain encouragement from saints. And I say it this way, both past and present, who lived or are living a life for God's glory as they were passing through this world. I mentioned Hebrews 11, the hall of faith, the hall of fame of faith. They were travelers. They were sojourners. Abraham, he was a traveler. Moses, he was a traveler. You look at so many people. You look at those of faith. Those even in the New Testament live their life by faith. Many of the disciples, of course, we know about the disciples of Christ. Their lives were taken. Because they didn't fit in, they didn't belong, they were travelers, they were strangers. Do not be a stranger to God's will. Gain encouragement from saints, both past and present. Number seven, remember the example of Christ. We already mentioned that, but remember the example of Christ. Man has nowhere in this world to lay his heart, as Christ had nowhere in his world to lay his head. And Jesus said unto them, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Philippians 2, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. What did he do? He made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant. That brings us to the eighth thought here. Remember that we are here to evangelize this world. We are here to be salt and light. We are here to share the great commission of Jesus Christ. We are to go. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? You know how a Christian loses its savor and loses its purpose? By the ways of the world. That's how we lose it. It is henceforth good for nothing to be cast out and to be trodden under of men. May our testimony not be trodden under. May our salt and our light. Ye are the light of the world, Matthew 5:14. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 9:5, as long as I am in this world, I am the light of the world. We have a great responsibility. Our theme this year is about that, about being salt and light, about our testimony, about witnessing, about letting people know about Jesus Christ and who Christ is and that he loves them. And we are told in Matthew 28 to go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. That is our great commission. That is not a commission just for a missionary. It is a commission for each and every one of us. We are to go. And then lastly, do not get too comfortable on this planet. We're just visiting. What an encouragement. That doesn't mean we're foolish. It doesn't mean we purposely do things to draw us out or draw Christ's name down. That's the last thing that our desire is to do. But to realize this isn't our final destiny. Oh, we have to live here. Oh, we can make much of what we have. We can be responsible. We live the human life. We have so much that God gives us, so much ability as human beings. We're put here on this planet for his glory. And so why not live to glorify him and to glorify his name? That's why we're here. So while we're here, we do have a job. We do have a responsibility. We do have salt and light to take care of. We do have the gospel to share. But do not get too comfortable on this planet. Psalm 1 says this, most of you know this verse, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. It's a progression. Starts walking or walking by, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, and then he gets comfortable and he hangs around. Sin does that to us, doesn't it? Have you ever seen that in your life? Yeah, that's interesting, and then we hang out. And then before long, what are we doing? We're sitting. And we're getting way too comfortable. I just jotted down for myself, and maybe you can come up with many more. What are some signs that I become comfortable or too comfortable on this planet? I become too comfortable when my language reflects the world and not the word. I become too comfortable when my actions reflect the world, not Christ. I become too comfortable when my character or my lack of character reflects the world, not the word or not Christ. When my reactions and my responses to things that don't go my way reflect the world, not the word. When my morals or my lack of morals reflect the world, not the word. What's a sign that I'm uncomfortable? When my belief system reflects the world's belief system and not that of the belief system of the Word of God. When my ethics or lack of ethics reflect the world or the world system and not God. When my business dealings look no different than the business dealings of a worldly person, cheating to get ahead or whatever, when that reflects the world and not the Word, I'm too comfortable. I'm too comfortable when excusing my sin reflects the lost world, refusing theirs, and not the word. Another sign that I'm too comfortable is my value or my possessions reflect the world values system and possessions and not the word. When my counsel is taken from the world and not the word. When my choice of entertainment reflects the world's entertainment and does not reflect Jesus Christ in my life. When my tolerance of sin reflects the world and does not reflect the word. And on, I'm sure we could all go. And I encourage you, maybe even just jot down and say, you know, there are things, here's some things in my life that I may be reflecting more world-like than the word of God-like. And I think it'd be a challenge to you, it'd be a challenge to me. So it's David's conclusion. I'm a traveler. I don't belong. I want off this planet. No. I'm a traveler. He didn't belong even amongst his own, even though he was running a kingdom. Pretty incredible. But God, I need the presence of your word in my life every day. And Christian, we need the presence of God's word in our life every day. Because you know why? The presence of the world is in our life every day. And because this world is here and we are part of it, we live, God put us on this planet for his glory, it all starts with me. And each of us live this way. And if each of us gather, then what happens? Then we commune together as a church we are doing this morning. Oh, not to criticize things around us, not to criticize even other Christians, but to encourage each other in what? In the word. See, that's why when we come here to church, that's what's opened up. In our Bible studies, in our children's ministries that are going on even right now, and in Sunday school the children have, and Wednesday night the children have, and the teens have. Because there's a part of us, it's our soul, that is more important than anything else. And that's why the word of God is opened here. It's not about how I feel. It's not about dealing with things in this world, but all those things that we have to deal in this world, come, we can find truth. We can find truth in the word of God to help us through every day. And that's why David said, God, I'm a stranger, but don't hide your word from me. God, I'm a stranger, but please be merciful to me concerning your word. Those requests that David gave were all about God's word. I trust that we're in it. I trust we're challenged by it. I trust we're not discouraged because we live in dark days. There are people all through the Bible that lived in very dark days. Lives were taken. Those people that were travelers, many of their lives, they were martyred for Christ, but they were salt and light, if you will, on this planet. I trust that you are the same, and I trust that I am the same. Let's pray to God even today. God, help us to trust and follow your word.